We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. We hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, January 20th, 2025. We're continuing with our series through the book of Exodus by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church. We'll jump right into a message he gave a few weeks ago, and I've titled it, Getting the Egypt Out of You. We'll learn what it means to walk it out, to leave Egypt and walk into the promised land, and he'll teach us a special way to practice prayer through tacos. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church.
So we're in the book of Exodus today. We're in Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 through 22. A little recap for those of you who've been gone or you just started coming during Christmas, but we've been here for a long time. And so in the book of Exodus, the ultimate story is this. It's a group of people, the nation of Israel or the family of God, this Jewish group of people that end up in Egypt. They're enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years. Moses comes on the scene. Moses calls out the spirit of a slaver. We've talked about that every week. The spirit of a slaver is someone who objectifies people. You might think, how could anyone put someone in slavery? This is how. When you live your life thinking people are there for you versus you're there for them, it develops inside of you a spirit of slavery. That you're a slaver, that people on this earth are objectified and you want something from them, you treat them that way. All of us in this room have had that spirit on us, and at times we even act or think that way. But the spirit of a slave is someone who is objectified. Basically, it's when we find our identity in anything outside of who we are in Christ. So all of us understand those spirits, those spirit of slavery and the spirit of a slaver. And so what happens is then, what does God do? He shows himself with 10 signs or 10 plagues. And in those 10 signs and 10 plagues, eventually the Pharaoh does what? He lets them go. There's a moment of Passover. I'm going to point to this because we're coming back. A moment of Passover, a moment when a nation is set free from their chains and they walk out from this moment and now they are free. This nation of Israel has discovered now, they've experienced God. It's like, whoa, he loves us enough. He sees us in our slavery. He sees us in our hurt. He sees us in our moments of crisis. He sees us so much, he's willing to set us free from slavery. Not only set us free, but give us gold and all these different things when we leave so we can take care of ourselves. That's where we find it. Before, though, we get to this point when they leave, what has he talked about? If you ever wondered, we hear the story of Exodus, but all the time we're hearing about the festivals and the feasts. Like, I get tired of talking about unleavened bread, y'all. But why would God be so specific on wanting them to celebrate the festivals and feasts? Well, the same reason he's specific on why we should celebrate communion. It reminds us of his faithfulness. He knows us, y'all. And today in this passage, I want you to know that lots of you in this room have had an experience where you experienced God, you experienced Jesus, and you were set free from sin. You walked out of slavery, you walked out of sin, you walked out of darkness, out of hopelessness, or walked out of an addiction, or whatever you've walked out of that Jesus brought you through. But then the rest of this story from here on in the book of Exodus, it's not being about being released from slavery, it's getting the Egypt out of them. It's helping them know this is how you walk with the Lord. And so many of us, and me included in my life, I have an experience with God, and that experience with God puts me in a beautiful place with God. But then 6 months later, a year later, 2 years later, 10 years later, 30 years later, I find myself questioning the very thing that he set me free from. That's why he gives us the feasts and the festivals, to help us to remember his faithfulness. It's why he wants you in church and church on Sundays. It's not because we take attendance, we don't. It's not because, man, this seat's gonna miss you, it won't. It's because the more we can remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God, the more we are reminded of how good he is, how much he loves us, and we walk with him. Today in this passage, that's what you're gonna find, and that's what I'm gonna find. It's what every single week when we talk about communion, it's interesting as a pastor, you feel like if you say the same thing all the time, it drives everybody crazy. Like for me, I give the exact same introduction every single week, and I've done it for 7 years. And hear me say this every single week, I think, maybe I should mix it up. Or with communion meditations. What that means is the time, did you pull up that cheap piece of bread and that terrible taste in juice that we give you? We think, man, how can we be creative with this? We don't need to be creative with that. It was the greatest moment in human history. Let's remember it. I don't need to be creative with this place is a place everyone's welcome, because guess what? This is a place where everybody's welcome. I don't need to rewrite the commands of God. He tells us to love him. He tells us to love people. And I think sometimes in our lives, when something becomes consistent, it becomes who we are, or we forget the purpose of it. And today in this passage in Exodus chapter 13, it's just a beautiful passage to teach us what it means to walk it out, what it means to leave Egypt and walk into the promised land. It starts this way in chapter 13, verse 17, it says this: when Pharaoh let the people of God go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was the near. So when they were let go and God was leading them, and you're going to find out how he led them, cloud by day and fire by night, he led them the long way around. It would be like me saying, hey, we're going to go to the north side of Shant. We're going to go to the mall, and I took you through Tolono. You'd be like, huh? Or we're going to go to the mall and we're going to drive way out to St. Joe, or we're going to drive all the way to Danville to get there. You'd be like, Jason, there's a quicker way. But there's a reason why he did it. Let's hear it. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people changing their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So why did God take them the long way? Because he knew that faith was short term. Did you hear that? I'm going to say that again. Why did God take them the long way? Because he knew their faith was short term. How do we know that's true? I don't know. Every January, you know it's true. The faith you have in your new diet usually ends. The faith you have in overcoming an addiction usually hurts. The moment you say I do and they say I do and you think I will never love anyone else and I'll never be, like, it's like when two young people come in and want to get married and tell me all the things and I start to question and start to push back a little bit and say, it's not always going to be easy. They're going to be like, well, it's going to be easy for us. Really? Let's talk in 20. Tell me how it goes now. But let's just be honest. Like, that doesn't mean marriage is my favorite thing. My favorite human relationship on this earth is with my wife. So I love marriage. But I'm just telling you guys that faith, if it's not put into practice consistently, it loses its ability to connect to you. Like, faith without works is dead. See, if you work at something and it doesn't have a long-term reward, that's actually play. If I do something and instantly I get the gratification of it, that's fun, that's play. But when I work at something and I don't get the reward till later, that's faith. I'm going to say that again because I think it's a big deal. In my life, the reason why faith and works are the same is because if I'm doing something and my reward is in the future, that is what? That is faith. But it takes work. But if I'm doing something in a moment and that moment I get the gratification of it, that's not work, that's play. And when we journey with Jesus in this passage, what you're going to find out is faith is short term. Jesus, like, God knew right here, y'all, they just experienced the 10 signs. Like, the same people that were beating them, oppressing them, enslaving them, literally packed their bags, gave them all their money, and told them to leave. That's a miraculous moment. They had all these things where they were protected. People around them died. They had all these moments where other people experienced these signs in these places and they didn't experience these things. Like, they were fresh off the biggest God experience, like the biggest goosebumps they ever had. That is where they just came out of, and God knows, guess what? You give them a couple days, they're going to question it. They're going to doubt it. I don't know about you, but that's happened in my life. It's happened with lots of you. It's happened with us together even. We have these moments, these deep spiritual experiences, and the further you get from it, when we don't stay close to Jesus and follow the cloud by day and the light by night, we start to question if they really, what, happened. So the first thing that we see in verse 17 is he says, you need a daily walk with me. In my life, I've said this before because I like food. When I pray with people, I go through a thing called tacos. I think you should do it with your families. I think you should do it in your singleness. I think you should do it. It's like the beginner way of really praying. And the first is Thanksgiving. You thank God for all the things around you. Just thank him. Just thank him, thank him, thank him. The next thing is you adore God. That's an A. T, thank God. A, adore God. What's adoration different than Thanksgiving? When you adore God, you're adoring the characteristics of him, even if you don't feel it. I adore your grace. I adore your mercy. I adore your faithfulness. I adore your power. I adore your creativity. But thank him first for all the stuff around you, and then adore him. Then after you adore him, and after you thank him and you adore him, guess what's next in tacos? There's a C, y'all. That's called confession. You confess your sins because guess what? We got them, y'all. And the beauty of confession is you find joy in confession because you're thankful and you adore him and you know he's going to what? Forgive you. After C is an O, it's others. I pray for y'all. Sometimes by name, sometimes by a group. And I pray for other people. And then the last thing I pray for is S, it's self. But it's a way I've prayed with my kids. It's a way I pray with myself. It's a way I pray with people. It's just a simple way of praying. There's lots of ways to pray. In fact, there's infinite ways to communicate with God and have him communicate with you. But this is one way I daily walk with the Lord. It goes on then and says these words in verses 18 through 19. It says this, "But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea, and the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear. They promised, saying, 'God will surely visit you and shall carry up my bones from here.'" Why would they have carried Joseph's bones? First is because Joseph asked him to. But the second is this, sometimes when we have an experience with God, we think it's the first time it's ever happened. When the story of God is so small, it's just your life, it doesn't build your faith like it should. But imagine God has set them free, and instantly they remember, oh, Joseph, yeah, Joseph was the one that had the dreams. Joseph was actually the first slave put into slavery. He had the dreams, then he saved his brothers by forgiving. Like, they started to remember the story, because see, we're all a part. See, one thing you need to know right now is, order for you to have faith, one thing needs to happen. One is you daily walk with the Lord. The second thing is you got to recognize you're part of a larger story. The story is just not 2025. The story is just not the generation in which you live in. We are part of a larger story that God has been working at from the very beginning of time. And we are a speck in that, but we're a speck in that that he deeply cares for and wants to pour his love and mercy on. But you know how you can handle the trauma in your life? To recognize you can use this trauma, you can use this hurt, you can use this pain to bless other people so they might not have to experience the same trauma and the same pain. But if it's just your story, let me hear you say, it's unfathomable. You can't do it. So why'd they bring Joseph's bones with him? Because he was the first slave and he was set free. It was a new beginning for a nation, but it wasn't the beginning of a family. It wasn't the beginning of God. In your life and in my life, what are the things in our world that give us faith? For them, this people group, this tons and tons of people, how did they have faith that God was going to do this not just once, but do this again? Because he had done it previously. He saved Joseph. He saved Noah. They knew the stories, y'all. How is it that a nation of Israel throughout history has been constantly obliterated by other people? If you talk, like, I have a friend whose parents were survivors of the death camps in Poland. And I just asked him, how did they cope with that? How did they not come back and just go crazy? Because, I mean, for us, when trauma happens, for us, sometimes it just sends us on a tailspin. I mean, that's like trauma on steroids, y'all. And I said, well, they knew they were part of a larger story of redemption. They knew that they had to tell their story so it didn't happen to what? Other people. Why do you walk through these horrific things in this world? To make sure those horrific things don't happen again. Some people don't like to talk about bad things in the past, but the truth is bad things in the past should hopefully keep us from what? Doing those same bad things. So we're part of a larger story. And that helps our faith. What else helps our faith is, like, even for me as a church, you look around this room and there's more people in this room every single week. It's a cool thing. God's doing crazy stuff. But most pastors, most churches would already be talking about, what are we going to do next? How do we make more room? How do we do this? But why are we not talking about that? Because we've never talked about that. And we started in a condemned building. Actually, we started in a park with lawn chairs. But God has always seemed to provide a way. So let's not stress about it. In your own personal life, I just want you to take a second. And think about all the things in your life God has helped you through, delivered you from, protected you from. And probably the things that are causing you worry and stress now, he's already set you free from before. Hey, family, we're part of a bigger thing than just us. And if we can remember to daily walk with the Lord, if we can remember that there's a big story and remember his faithfulness, then our faith grows. The passage then goes on and it says these words, "And they move from Succoth, an encampment at Etham, to the edge of the wilderness." They move close to the desert. Why would God have led them through the desert? Well, here's one reason is, for me in my life, the times in my life I trust God the most historically have been the hardest moments. And I hate that, but it's true. The times in my life when I experience God the most are the times that I'm in the middle of a country, or I'm risking my life for this, or I'm struggling with this, or someone's sick, and I'm seeking him all the time, and I experience God in those hard moments. And I remember one time my wife asked me this question. She's like, Jason, why is it that in these places, in Africa or wherever you're at, why is it that you have these experiences? God, why aren't we having those as much right here? That was her question. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I made up some excuse. That's what I did. I was like, I don't know. God's just being God. And then about 6 months later, after I thought about it every day and didn't tell her I was, I said, I think it's because I ignore him here. Do I think God just lives in Kenya? Or God just lives in the ballroom at the I Hotel? Or God just shows his face when it's really hard? Or do I look at myself most of the time when I'm feeling things are going well versus always looking for him? My prayer now in my life is, God, help me to constantly seek you so I don't have to walk through the desert to find you. Like, he is talking to us all the time. He's with us. There's a cloud by day and a fire by night. And I don't know about you, but I just do not have to walk through the pain in order to see the pleasure of who he is. It goes on in verse 21 and says these words. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them among the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Then they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. So this pillar is not just like a straight line. This pillar, in some ways, the word pillar could be the dwelling place of God. It was something they could see in front of them. It was something they were drawn to. I think it's so cool that he gave them a light for the nighttime and he gave them a cloud for the daytime. Why would he have done that? Well, one, it's easy to see. But the other reason is this. I don't know if you've ever been if you've ever been outside the city in a place that has no light and it's dark, it's really dark. Like, really dark. Like, I have been in the desert before at nighttime and there was no moon and no stars. And let me tell, like, you can't see your hand and it's dark, y'all. And I don't know if you've ever been in the desert when the sun is out and it's super bright. Y'all, it's hot. Like, ooh-wee, hot. So what's God teaching us here? One is he's always with them and he's always with you. Two is he gives you exactly what you need in every single moment to survive and thrive. In the dark, what's he give them? Light. In the blazing sun, what's he give them? Shade. Hey, family, remember the times he's given you shade. Remember the times he's given you light. Because if we constantly are seeking him, our faith grows. When we stop seeking him daily, our faith diminishes and we question the same God that set us free. We're no different than a nation of Israel. What's about to happen? They're about to get ready to cross the Red Sea and they want to turn back. Let's go back to slavery. And in your life and in my life, how many times have we said what? Actually, it's more comfortable to me to live this other life than it is for me to walk in freedom. But you know and I know that freedom is way better. There's a phrase that I've said as a preacher, that you've heard as a preacher say, you've probably said to other people, and I'm not critiquing you and I'm not critiquing myself, but I want to pull out the theology or the problem with the statement. The first statement is, I drifted from God. You've heard that, you've probably said that, I've said that. Or I've walked away from God, right? We say those types of things as Christians, not picking on us. I'm just going to make a statement. None of those statements are actually true. You can't walk away from someone who's everywhere. You can't escape his presence. In your darkest moment, there was light and there was shade. In your brightest moment, there was light and there was shade. He was with you. But you have, and I have, ignored him. It's harder to say that, isn't it? It's easier to say, we just kind of drifted. It's like any other relationship. Oh, yeah, we just kind of drifted apart. It sounds very casual. Sounds like well-meaning almost. You know, I went on a walk and didn't take the Lord with me. That's how we feel. Like, I'm pointing it out because I'm guilty of it. But really, if I'm honest with myself and you'll be honest with yourself, it's not that you just drifted away. It's that you woke up consciously one day and said, I'm doing it my way and I'm going to ignore the Lord. I'm going to ignore the light. I'm going to ignore the shade because I think I can do it on my own. And this happens to me on a daily basis. That's why in tacos, there's a C. A moment I can do what? Realign myself and connect to the one who gives me shade when it's hot and gives me a light when it's dark. Family, he is with you. And he loves you. So this week, we have staff meeting every Monday. We pray over our cards on Monday. Our staff prays together for an hour. Then we have a little bit of a staff meeting to do details, and then we pray some more for you guys. Our staff, one thing that we have is like a staff thing, a value system, is that we pray more than we talk. Because in most other things I've ever been a part of, we do lots and lots and lots and lots of planning, and you wrap it up with, oh, God, help us. We just kind of want to be a group of people that pray more than we talk. And so we try to do that as much as we can. And this week during that prayer time, God really convicted me of something I wanted the staff to do. I wasn't even thinking about the sermon on Monday. I should have been thinking about it, but I wasn't. And what I asked them to do on Wednesday at 3 o'clock when I was thinking about the sermon I was about to give at 6:30, God was like, oh, Jason, I gave you that on Monday because it's something we all need to do on Sunday. And so I'm going to ask you to do something as well. At the Christmas experience, for those of you who went to it, I asked you to share at Christmas the moment that Jesus was birthed in you. Does that make sense? The moment you gave your life to Christ. I ask you to share that with your people because I think it's a powerful moment. This week, I'm going to give you another assignment, okay? But here's your next assignment. I want you this week at some point in time to be by yourself or to be with someone else after you do it and do this. Remember what God has done in your life. Write it down. God, I remember this. Actually, first do this. Holy Spirit, help me remember. And you might start as a child and just exhaust it. Just remember all the moments he saved you. The moments that you pulled out in front of a car and somehow you were saved. The moment that you almost made this mistake and for some reason you didn't, but you wanted to. I've got lots of moments. I'm just asking you to ask God to help you remember all the times he's been with you. Remember his faithfulness. The second thing I'm going to ask you to do for all of us is ask the Lord what he wants from us next. Okay, God, if this is what you've done in my life in the past, in our lives in the past, it's not just remember what God has done in me, but it's what God's done in you. And God, what do you have for us next? Where's the cloud and the fire going, y'all? Let's ask the Lord together as a community of believers. And then the third thing is this. Ask the Lord, okay, Lord, how am I standing in the way of me going where you want me to go? What are the things in my world that keep me from being who I was created to be? Hey, y'all, you don't drift from him. He's with you. You don't walk away from him. You ain't that fast. When we aren't experiencing him, it's just because we're ignoring him. Let's not ignore the creator who loves us so much. Let's celebrate the Passover. Let's celebrate what God's done in our life. This week, I think it could be such a cool thing for you to tell your friends and talk about. This is, man, when I was 16, God did this. Man, when I was 46, God did this. Man, I had 30 years of not being involved in a church, and then God did this. Like, that's so encouraging. You're such an encouragement to me today. Such an encouragement to the room today. That's what it is, y'all. Is let's remember the faithfulness of the one who created us.
That was Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church, reminding us of God's great love and giving us an assignment. To remember to ask the Holy Spirit, what has God done in our lives? To help us remember his faithfulness. 2, to ask the Lord what he wants from us next. And 3, how might we be standing in the way of where the Lord wants to take us? What are the things in our world that are keeping us from being who God created us to be? If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at wluj.org and greatnewsradio.org under the Mark and Friends tab. Today we looked at Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 through 32, getting the Egypt out of you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.